Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Welcome to Let's Get Busy, a weekly podcast where I talk shop and get down to business with authors, illustrators, kid-lit notables, and everyone in between. I'm Matthew Winner, an elementary school librarian, author of the Busy Librarian blog, and your host. This is episode number 163 with Kid-lit TV founders Julie Gribble and Rocco Staino. The mission at Kid-lit TV is to help authors, illustrators, educators, and parents explore the world of children's literature. And in just over about a year since Kid-lit TV first launched, it's easy to see the heart behind the content they're producing. I hope you enjoy the listen, and afterwards, head over to kidlit.tv to check out the awesome videos with some of your favorite faces and talents in children's literature. Here is episode number 163 of the podcast with Julie and Rocco of Kid-lit TV. Let's get busy. To the Let's Get Busy podcast, Julie and Rocco, I'm so thankful that you've come on today to talk about Kid-lit TV.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much, Matthew. It's great to be here.
Hey, yeah, Rocco, you want to say hi? I'm giggling, listening audience, giggling, because when we do this thing over Skype and we don't see each other, it's a really fun game to play with three people talking to each other. Why don't we do round robin style? Julie, I'm going to give you a chance to just introduce yourself to the listening audience, say sort of who you are and maybe a little bit of your background, and then we'll get into talking about Kid-lit TV after introductions.
Oh my gosh, I have to talk about myself? That's like the worst.
I'm not making you show a picture of yourself, so that's okay, right? Yeah, I know you mentioned that.
It could be worse, yeah. It's so funny because I'm so happy to have Rocco as the host of the show, right? And folks are like, why didn't you get in front of the camera? I'm like, never. I'm not gonna get in. I love Rocco. He's fantastic. He's a natural at it. I am not. And even when we have Kid-lit TV team meetings, I was telling you before on Google Hangouts, I will turn the camera off because I just don't like it. But you know what that comes from? I work behind the scenes in television, and that's a real comfortable place for me. So okay. That was my background years and years ago. I mixed audio for NBC, some of the bigger, entertainment shows. So I started as an assistant music engineer on Saturday Night Live, and then I was the music engineer for Late Night with Conan O'Brien. So I mixed about over 1,300 bands for live television.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's my background. I have a couple of Emmy nominations for that. So my background is tech, and yes, all those people you probably love, I've met and worked with, and they're fantastic. And I have some great stories, and that's another cup of coffee. Maybe some other time I can tell you And then I got into the Kid-lit world. I just sort of stumbled upon it, and I just loved. I loved storytelling. I loved filmmaking, and I loved picture books. And picture books to me were like storyboards, you know, for film and for television. Yeah. So I really connected with that form of that genre, and so. Let's see, what else do you want to know? There's a lot to tell, but
why don't we save the conversation we have coming up to see what is revealed then, and I'll turn to Rocco. And Rocco, I've known you for a while, and I know you are involved in a lot of different things. Can you give maybe just a little background of what
things you have going on now and what you've
done? I am a retired school librarian, and as a school librarian, I worked in both elementary and middle and high school, and also on a regional level. And since retiring, I've become active as a contributing editor for School Library Journal, and I've done that for almost 10 years now. Uh-huh. And I started before I retired. I retired around 6 years from school libraries, and I am the director of the Empire State Center for the Book, which is the New York State affiliate for the National Center for the Book that comes out of the Library of Congress. And that's a volunteer position. And one of the perks of being a retiree is you get to pick and choose different projects to become involved. And I picked a few. So it's fun. and of course, Kidlit TV, which we'll be talking about.
Well, I love that. I love just knowing that you both have had so much great experience, and that you also do love children's literature. Again, Rocco, I've run into you at conferences all across the country, and have known you to be just so passionate about cheering on books and also the people behind them, and that's a wonderful thing. And Julie, my goodness, for all I know about Kidlit TV, which is to say that I've sort of been around since it started in the initial buzzing and cheering on all the different things that Kidlit TV is and has represented already, and the number of faces that you've been involved with through interviewing, but also the great content that you're sharing through your website. It's really a wonderful thing.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. It's nice to hear people appreciate it, because it's a lot of hard work. We have a great team. The team is just amazing. They're folks I've met in the Kidlit community, and it's just we've been so I'm so lucky to have them working with me. But it's a really cool video resource for everyone, and I'm so glad you like it and you like our content stuff.
But your platform itself too is much more than a video resource, if I can say that. The content mm-hmm. you're creating absolutely is video, but you're also sort of, I would say, helping to curate a lot of those great blog posts and articles that are coming out in this Kidlit world. And I feel like a lot of it is focused on just the audience of people that appreciate children's books and want to know the story behind the book a little more intimately. Would you say that?
I'd say so, absolutely, yeah. It's a news and entertainment website, I guess. So we do have Kidlit Kibbles, and that's the place where we curate the latest news stories about Kidlit. We help our readers stay informed, learn about new books and technology, keep up with industry news. We host a collection of videos, book trailers, how-to bookcraft videos, interviews, book reviews, and more. And then towards the bottom of the website, you'll see our community section where you can meet peers and experts in Kidlit. You can learn how to support diversity in children's books. We're huge fans and supporters of We Need Diverse Books. We love them and what they do. And we do our best to help them spread the word. We do a lot. It's a great place. You go there and you can, with your cup of coffee in the morning, you head over to our website and you can, pretty much get caught up in all the Kidlit news and also see some great interviews by Rocco on Storymakers. And Storymakers is sort of our gem, and we're so lucky to have Rocco. It's where he's so funny. Did you see Tim Federle's?
I just saw the episode with Tim Federle. Rocco, I know Rocco. Anyone that has run across you at a conference knows you for being the vibrant, enthusiastic person that you are. And what you bring on film to these interviews is so much pure energy. I love watching you.
Well, thank you. And it's fun actually doing the Storymakers segments. And we are able to have people like Tim and Emily Jenkins and Sophie Blackwell. And, where we get to do fun things as well as talking about their books. So we also get to kind of just let loose. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Do you, when Kidlet TV was being conceived, is this your brainchild, Julie? And have you sort of conceived it all along with Rocco by your side? It seems like you're great partners together.
Yeah. I came up with this idea a while ago. I thought, wouldn't it be really cool to have something that's like inside the actor's studio meets like the Tonight Show kind of for the Kidlet world, right? And I mean, there were interviews out there and stuff, but, you know, I thought, well, the Kidlet community is made up of some incredibly generous people. And I thought, well, what can I bring? You know, like, what can I bring to show and tell, right? What can I bring to share with people? And I have an expertise that I thought could come in handy. And maybe by partnering with people who are really good in front of the camera and who know a lot more people in the Kidlet world than I do, because I was fairly new to it. I've been in the Kidlet world for a couple years now. I thought, well, this would be a cool way to help the community because I just feel so connected. It's like they're for the first time, you know, I really felt at home. You know, I went to a SCBWI conference, my first one, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And it was like, wow, these are my people. This is my tribe. You know, I love everybody here. They love family stories, children's stories, and have incredible imagination, so much to share. And I thought, well, this is how I can help. And so, and I have a good time with it too. I mean, I love producing. I love calling people, letting them know what, you know, what to expect and putting teams together and you know, helping during the interviews, helping folks. All right, I'm losing my train of thought. Please edit this out.
I think well, what you're trying to say, and Rocco, I don't mean to step on your words, but I can tell from the way that the final product comes out that there's a lot of love going into it, a lot of focus going into it. Every component of the video seems so well orchestrated. It's beautifully shot. The quality of what you're producing is really wonderful, and you get these great intimate moments. Like, I am thinking of watching Emily Jenkins and Sophie Blackall making that dessert in the Kidlet kitchen. But I'm also thinking of watching Rocco. So far, my favorite moment of the year of watching Kidlet TV grow, it was you with Hervé Toulé reading Press Here. Oh, that was my favorite. To see adults play. Because you were a librarian. I'm a librarian. And that's something that I hope to never, ever let go of. The play that we encounter when we approach the drama that is a picture book.
Well, Hervé is a big kid, and so am I, so we kind of had a good time in that segment. Yes, well, I'm glad you really enjoyed that, yes.
Oh, yeah, I assume you did, too. How much footage do you shoot for these? How much time do you spend with these?
That's a good question. I would think the average, and correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, it's about we actually film in about a two-hour time slot, and that's not going straight. I mean, we, you know, stop and go. And then from that footage and Julie and her editor's magic, we come up with a 15-minute streaming program. Is that correct, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as the time and everything, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
I should say that Julie and her crew also, Julie especially, has a very deep commitment to Kidlet TV. And without her expertise and her resources, it wouldn't look as good as it does. It's really a very, as you mentioned, a very well-edited and program.
Yeah, I would agree, Rocco, that this is the quality of the videos, the look, the appeal of the way the interview is occurring, but also, again, the editing of it just has that professional quality to it that looks like it can stand up across any platform, whether we're just browsing online or if it is educators using the videos in the classroom. It's something that we'll be able to hold up for a long time. And, Julie, that's all you. That's you and your resources and knowing I mean, knowing how to make things look so good. You just need to then bring the talent on and have them be themselves. And it that clearly is a gift that you have in the way that you are able to edit these segments. Gosh, to know you take 2 hours and edit it down to what appears to be, it's such a smoothly edited 15 minutes. And when you mentioned in the beginning about starting your day, you know, your cup of coffee, your breakfast over it, that 15 minutes ends up being a perfect amount of time to consume that sort of media.
Oh, thanks so much. It's so great to hear because we're always so, you know, we're so busy working and it's, we seldom get to, you know, talk to folks who watch the show and get their feedback, you know, and so that's really great to hear. I mean, you know, folks do say there is interest generated and people are asking us about the show all the time, but to hear specifically from folks like you, Matthew, that means a lot. So thank you so much for saying that.
That's kind of the way it is, though, on the side of the people that generate content, isn't it? I mean, I find myself really enjoying when I record a podcast and then share it. It's always so neat to sit back and watch the way that people on Twitter, more so than anywhere else, are talking to the authors or the illustrators that are involved in those chats. I don't often get to see it, but when you do, it's sort of, I feel like that watching your baby go off to school. You get to see that here's this product that you help put in front of people that is all about making that other person shine. I mean, with your interviews, it's all about showcasing the person that is interviewed. And I think celebrating the really incredible works of art that are coming out in children's literature.
That is it exactly. It's so funny because today, I got very little sleep. We were working. We had a small tech glitch for Tim's interview. We got it fixed. We got it uploaded. We got it posted. And then I was exhausted. And then I started seeing the feedback and people liking it and commenting. And it just made it all worthwhile. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, and Tim loved it too, you know. And so that really makes me feel good.
And you got to Rocco. You had your first kidlit story makers after hours thing with the making the cocktail.
Oh, you saw that also? Yes, yeah. That's a little editing. Was Tim, as we know, has two and an upcoming third cocktail guide. So we actually talked about that also. So you know, probably in the future there will be some after hours stuff too.
I love that. I have a well loved copy of Tequila Mockingbird with a couple of stains on it from the various drinks I've been mixing.
right. And you know, and as and we've actually been known to toast, crack open a bottle or two of bubbly for some authors for their new books. So that is sort of a Kathy Lee and Hoda type of thing, you know, where we have a glass of wine. But, you know, it's kidlit TV, but we also know that we can have fun with that. Yeah, one of the things that Julie and I have really worked in developing with kidlit TV is having a variety of guests, not only in types of books, you know, we have picture book authors right up to YA, but also people that are well known and people who are lesser known or actually debut authors, because we feel that, you know, people that are really well known are out there and people know about them and they have various outlets to let people know about their work, but for some new and fledgling authors, we you know, want to also give them a an opportunity. And the same thing is true with publishers. We've worked with the Big Five. We've had authors from most of the Big Five publishers, but also publishers, some authors with some authors from smaller houses. So we, you know, try to be sort of democratic in our guests.
I think that is apparent. Yeah.
Yes.
So who is then, Julie, are you booking or do you have someone? I know you have a large team. I've seen on your about page that you've got all the great group of people that are sort of working on all the different, what is it, many hands make light work, right? all the different components of Kidlit TV to make everything run well. How do you determine, though, who is going to be interviewed, how that's set up? I know because you're shooting in New York that part of it has to do with just who is in the area, as it were. Or perhaps you will be, I don't know, at ALA or AASL. I know you've recorded some interviews on location. But beyond that, how do you determine who will be your next guest?
Rocco and I work together on that. So if Rocco bumps into somebody at an event that he thinks would be interesting to have on the show, then he just will email me and make suggestions for folks, and then we'll coordinate our schedules. I'll bump into people as well. And then we have a really active Kidlit community on Facebook. And like Rocco said, some folks don't have access. You know, they're not going to get that article or as much exposure because they're new. So so I've asked some of our more active members, like, if they'd like to be on the show. And because they just they make us aware of what they're doing. They let us know. They share what they're doing in the Kidlit group, Kidlit TV Facebook group, and on Pinterest, and we can either feature them in the community section or have them on the show. And so occasionally I'll, like, look at what some of our members are doing, and I'll like ask them on the show.
So the message here, as it's so hard to do for people, which is a human nature thing, but is to share, get onto this community board at Kidlit. I know the Facebook page I'm a member of, but request membership, get on there and share what you're doing. It's okay.
Let us know. Let us know because people won't know. I mean,
we want to celebrate you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. And tell us how you did things too. Like, if you're posting about your book, instead of just posting a link to buy it, let us know how you created it, what inspired you. If you have a video, if you have a trailer, how'd you do it? And so we really want people to just, you know, give us the inside scoop on what you're doing, please. You know, we'd love to hear, because then other people can learn from it too. So,
Rocco, is there an interview coming up that we haven't seen posted yet that you have planned, or that you have already recorded that just hasn't been posted that you're excited to share?
Well, it's one that's planned, and it probably will be the first interview with Rocket. Tad Hill's, Tad Hill series. Yes. And we're also going to have a Tad on the program too.
That's very considerate of you.
We actually are having Rocket as a guest, and we will ask Tad some questions, but we're going to get the real scoop about Tad from a Rocket. So we're going to have the two of them. That's going to be, coming up, well, it's going to be shot in about a week or two. And then, you know, we actually do three shoots in a day. So, we have the film crew come in, you know, to maximize that. We usually
that
have
makes sense.
Three shoots. So, although we may be shooting it next week, it may not air until late summer or early fall.
That makes sense. How often do you record? Is it something like once a week or every other week? How often are you creating that content like that?
Well, I would say maybe it's now once a month, because we actually try to do a program a week, but the nature of the beast is that once a program is posted, it needs to get some legs either through social media or word of mouth, et cetera. And so the time the program actually got out among the viewing public, a new one would be up. So we thought that a two-week time period was better to have a – because actually one program starts competing because they're all so much fun. One starts to compete with the other. So we now have a 2 week interval. But Julie, that I think we may have like at least four or five, as they say in the business, in the can, so to speak.
Yeah, and we also do special events around town. So we did the Children's Book Book Choice Award, Children's Choice Book Awards, for CBC's red carpet coverage, and we did the Irma Black and Cook Prize Award for Bank Street, and National Foundation for the Book. We did their teen press conference and some red carpet.
Right.
So we did, and we're interested. I'd love to do some more live streaming. That was fun. That was really fun.
Yeah,
that was really cool. So I'd love to live stream like the red carpet next year for CBC. That would be fun.
I think you have the tools to offer something unique like that to our community. And that's if you're able to have those tools, then that's something that I think a lot of people would really value.
Yeah, I think so too. And then more people from around the country can participate because, like you said, we're in New York City. We have access. And so and now that we have the tech tools to help spread the word, why don't we use them? And so I think we can. So I think a live streaming is going to be the next big thing we do.
Oh, man.
More live streaming,
Yeah, one of the things that Kidlit TV has been able to do is to celebrate children's books and children's authors, that many authors and illustrators tend to be celebrities in our community, and we're able to give you an insight into those celebrities. You know, every evening we have Entertainment Tonight, you know, and all these other, entertainment shows that kind of highlight the celebrities. And so we kind of do the same thing in our own unique way. And also, you know, we did have the program with Bruce Colville and Liz Levy where we reflected on Paula Danziger. So we were able to do a little tributes to people who are no longer with us. And at Christmas, we also, at Christmas, during the holiday season, we were able to bring some people from the Kidlit world, to the other side of the Kidlit world, people who are educators and reviewers to talk about holiday books and make recommendations of new books that people may be interested in for holiday giving. So I think we'll be doing more of that and also, with Tim Federle, Tim Federle and our first, Chris's name, LGBT, Chris Shirley, who was a YA author. And, we focused on some, LGBT, titles and been able to, focus on various aspects of Kidlit, and I think we'll continue to do that.
That's so great that you are being representative of all facets of children's literature, that it's not just about the interviews or about the authors and illustrators creating the books, that you're really capturing everything, a slice of everything, which is in that way offering something for everyone when they visit your site.
Right, and another thing that's coming up in the future is we're having people from Merrymakers who create the character dolls to actually talk about the process of how they choose which characters to create dolls and how the whole process of how from inception to the actual doll. So I think that may be also a fun show too.
Oh, I'll look forward to that because having been building these relationships in children's literature, I've gotten now to be friends with people while they're going through the act of getting mock-ups for their characters, like Mike Curato with little Elliot and Kelly Light.
Actually, that's the one we'll be doing.
we'll be doing. I can't believe you get that story.
Mike and Claire, yeah.
Oh, so man. That's going to be fantastic. You're right. Another one of those things that we all love and treasure, those really beautifully made toys, those plushes, and yet how you choose and what that all looks like, this is going to be great. I can't wait. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of amazing things in the future. Are there any last things you want to share with the listening audience before we wrap up? Julie?
Well,
maybe?
Julie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, me? Well, first we want to know when you're going to come on the show.
Oh, gosh, when am I coming to New York?
When are you going to be in New York?
I would love to be up there. I love visiting Books of Wonder and my friends at the Flatiron Building when I go up there at First Second. And now that I've interviewed a bunch of you New York folk, I've got a long list of cupcake places I need to visit.
Right.
Thank you, Ruth Chan and others. But if I'm up that way, I'd love to check out your
stop by and chat with Rocco.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Book me on a day when somebody's coming in to cook something.
Right.
Done.
Well, Matt, you have become I've coined celebrity librarians. So.
Oh, thank you.
You're one of our celebrity librarians. There's a number of you out there, and the internet has now made. I've been in the business for a long time, and we all knew people from conferences, but we only knew them at conferences. But this is a way, what you're doing with your podcasts and other people are doing with their blogs and clubs have given people the opportunity to raise the visibility of what librarians, especially school librarians, do.
I would agree. And I think that this unprecedented access we have to technology also gives way to really cool things to show our kids. I love that most of the collaborations I do are with people online that don't live anywhere near me,
mm-hmm.
And that I wouldn't have known about until being able to connect through Twitter and Skype and things like that. But also that it allows us, like it does at a conference, Rocco, to find those people that are doing things just like us or that are interested in those things that we felt like we were the only ones interested in those things. So we're living in a really exciting world, and I'm glad that we have, these great other people blogging. I think we all turn to a couple really great sites and people and resources that are just creating great content. But also you keep getting new people creating new things, and it's just an exciting time. So thank you for mentioning me as a part of it, and I'm glad that I get to be alongside people like you, because it fills me with such hope and excitement to know that we are pushing beyond the reach that the book has being on a store shelf and helping other people make that deep and intimate connection we have with these stories and with the people behind them. So I'm glad that we all get to be in this together.
It's good company.
No doubt. Well, hey, listen, but before I let you all go, I'm going to ask my standard question of wrapping up, and that is, I'm assembling an all-star kid-lit dream team kickball tournament, and I'd love to know what one person each of you would love on your team, alive or past, from the kid-lit world, and why. And Rocco, I think I'll start with you, if you don't mind.
Well, I was thinking about that, and I'm going to go way back in the past, and I'm going to pick Beatrice Potter, because I would love to imagine Beatrice Potter on a kickball team, and also the fact that her name is still quite relevant in the kids lit world. I would also love to be able to have her come on Storymakers. I think she would be a very interesting get. That's the real story behind those bunnies.
Hey, Julie, how about
awesome.
You? Who would you want?
I was talking to Rocco about this earlier, and I was like, oh, can we pick a character from the book? Because I'd pick Pooh, because I'd be hanging out with him eating honey on the sidelines. after watching Tim Federle today, he was, after watching him teach Rocco how to tap dance, he had this really cool move called a brush kick. And it's like a kick using you swipe the side of your shoe on the stage floor as you kick. So I think he's got the mad skills to be on to be on the team. I think he would be my pick, I guess.
Well, I'm so thankful to you both for not only generating the content that you are and being a voice out there for children's literature, but also for taking time out of your days to come and talk to me and the people that listen to this podcast so that we get to know a little bit more about those passionate individuals behind Kidlit TV. Thanks again for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And if I don't see you at ALA, I will see you at the National Books Festival.
I know. I can't wait.
Yes. Okay. Well, looking forward to it.
Like what you hear? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a comment on the blog at lgbpodcast.blogspot.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep and I'll see you there.